Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together again. We thank you for this time you've given us to consider your word because of your Son, our Savior. And we thank you for the great privilege that we have to be called your children on account of him and to call you Father. Please bless this time together. Help us to listen so that we might learn, that this time might be a source of both blessing and challenge, that we might grow by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, throughout John's gospel, as we've gone through this week by week, it's worked well to handle sections at a time in more of a verse-by-verse approach. And so that's what we've done. But as we begin to consider the teaching Jesus Christ gave here in the upper room to his disciples, we must first consider the length of that teaching. In fact, it's the longest recorded teaching discourse of Christ. Obviously, that the time given to this teaching should emphasize its importance, right? Yet those 4.5 chapters make it somewhat difficult, at least in our typical Sunday morning routine, to ensure we're all on the same page in terms of content and context and all those things that we have before us. So that's one thing. The second thing to consider is simply that this teaching was not meant to be broken apart and considered piecemeal. I think most of us would have to admit that we've done that from time to time. You know, there's that the way, the truth, and the life teaching there. And then over here, separate from that, is the vine and branches teaching. Okay, that's separate. And then somewhere he had that high priestly prayer where he prayed for the disciples. And I forget, somewhere along the way he taught about the Holy Spirit too. Well, all that's true, but Christ wove that together in one whole, one unified whole teaching. And so for those reasons, I think it's probably best for us to consider it that way, as a unified whole, one teaching. And the first part of that strategy for all of us is to, surprise, read it together. Okay? So we're going to be doing that this morning, taking the time to read through it together, non-stop, you know, without interruption. The actual reading itself will only take about 20 minutes. So ease your minds. 20 minutes, give or take. So we'll be ending earlier than as is typical for us. But the passage itself is so deep in meaning and rich in relevance that I don't think, or I hope, no one will feel cheated in terms of time. I doubt it anyway. Now, I have some handouts here to facilitate that reading. And, you know, just to make sure that we're all on the same page, so to speak. And you'll see that what I have in mind here falls kind of along the lines of what we do from time to time in the hymn services, where we have readings there. There will be phrases and statements in here that are in bold font. Those are obviously meant for us to read together in unison, okay? There's also a handful of questions I've peppered throughout. They are going to look like this in gray circles. Please don't let those be a distraction to you as we're reading. We won't be reading those out loud. We won't be discussing them here. They're primarily for you just to ponder as we read together. But also, as you take these home with you, I hope that you'll find them useful in your studies, in your own studies. You know, I think I'm going to need help passing these out. Would somebody be willing to help me here? Sorry, I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. There should be enough there for everyone to have one. And like I said, we will be reading through this together, reading certain parts in unison, so everyone really needs to have one. And one final note. Please feel free to make notes on these. That's one of the great benefits of being able to read through a long passage of Scripture uninterrupted, nonstop, but also having God's Word in this format, is to be able to take notes as we go along. You know, reading long passages at once, some things just jump off the page at you that you never really noticed before. So, you know, circle those things that you never really noticed before. Underline those things that seem to have of great emphasis. Draw lines and arrows between one statement and another that where those statements really help to bring out the meaning of something. You know, don't assume that you'll remember it. Don't assume that you'll remember it when you leave here and pick it up again, you know, some other time, sometime during the week or next month or whenever. Write it down now. Jot it down. And then when you do come back to it, you'll have that to be able to build on, that learning to be able to build on. Okay, does everyone have one? We're all set up? Good. Thank you to you guys who helped pass those out. Okay, now before we begin reading, and hey, I see some eyes already looking at those pass out, those handouts. Don't look ahead. We all know how it ends, okay? So you, no need to get ahead. Okay. Before we start reading, let's just pause to remember a few things to sort of set the stage here a bit. Last week, of course, we began chapter 13. So remember that setting. This was the eve before his sacrificial death, when the Passover Lamb of God would take away the sins of the world. Okay? He himself had led his disciples through this, their last Passover meal together, during which time the disciples would have been personally identifying themselves with the plight of the Israelites who once upon a time had been enslaved in Egypt, in slavery there. They would have remembered and celebrated the Lord's promises to them. Remember when he said, "I will bring you out, I will deliver you from slavery, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, I will take you to me for a special people." Those promises of both redemption and relationship that God had made to Israel. They would have remembered those. They would have reflected on each one of the miraculous signs and mighty wonders that the Lord had brought about for to bring his people out. And until finally they zeroed in on the last one, that innocent, spotless lamb. The lamb whose blood had marked the post of every post and lintel in the land of Goshen, and whose sacrificed flesh, roasted with fire, had been willingly received in by eating by the people. Okay? So they would have been celebrating that, remembering that, and of course all throughout the meal they would have been pondering the meaning and the beauty of personal redemption, that freedom from slavery, and you know, the Lord's salvation that he alone accomplished without any help from the people. Okay? And so Jesus, who knew that his hour had come, would at this point initiate this lengthy discussion with his disciples, with his believing disciples, by first of all, remember, washing their feet. That's how he got this teaching going. He rose from that meal, which pictured and anticipated his own death. He rose from that in order to wash their feet, to wash them with water. And as we saw last week, by doing that, of course, he illustrated the necessity of routine cleansing, that confession of sin on a routine basis, in order for us to have ongoing intimate fellowship with him. And of course, he emphasized that significance by doing it first. He did that first before going into any of the teaching. Okay? So, once he had illustrated that, once his disciples were pictured as being in fellowship with him, able to hear and learn from him, that's when he presented some of the deepest and greatest of spiritual truths that we find anywhere in the Bible regarding relationship with Him, His love for His own, the provisions He's made for His own, in order for them to continue to live with Him. In order for His disciples to continue to live with Him, abiding in Him, in love and good works and so on, these truths were essential in preparing them to live for Him, with Him, even after He was gone. And they were truths to live as fellow workers together with Himself, fellow workers in the building of the church, which is His body. Truths to enable His body to actually be the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Okay? And so His teaching was for that purpose, to prepare them for that, the building up of the church, and to encourage them in that. And you know what? That sounds a lot like what we need, doesn't it? A lot like it. That's exactly what we need. After all, we are living stones who are being built up a spiritual house, right? A spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up those spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, who Himself is the chief cornerstone, that living stone, okay? And so this teaching, this upper room discourse, I think is much more relevant to us than most of us realize. It is the backbone of living the Christian way of life, as those branches who are meant to be vitally connected to the true vine. With what purpose? That we might be a glorious church. That we might be a glorious church without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish and acceptable to Him. So with that, let's begin reading together from page 1. Remember, the bold statements are for us to read in unison. Don't leave me hanging on those. Okay, here we go. Jesus rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, "Lord, are You washing My feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to Him, "You shall never wash My feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with Me." Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean." So when He had washed their feet, taken His garments, and sat down again, He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in Him. If God is glorified in Him, God will also glorify Him in Himself, and glorify Him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek Me, as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow Me now, but you shall follow Me afterward." Peter said to Him, "Lord, why can I not follow You now? I will lay down my life for Your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for My sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied Me 3 times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Then some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father? They said, therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said to him, See, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. And all God's people said, Amen. We're going to close with a hymn this morning, so if Billy and Ed would come back up. They'll lead us through that. Thank you.